I love watching that because there's like so many cool things that we've done. There's so many cool things that have been invented and you don't even think about all the stuff that we enjoy every single day. And we're like, man, somebody had to be behind that and to think that thing up and to invent it and to put a lot of work into something that I could never do, like any of that stuff. It's just really smart and really awesome. And it's cool to be able to see like who did it, you know, the whole buy whoever the deal. And as we're talking through Daniel, we're still in this awesome book of Daniel that blows my mind. I love studying Daniel because this dude does some stuff that's absolutely unbelievable that scares me to death to think about what if I had to do that, you know? And then when you really look into it, you see it wasn't Daniel at all. The whole by, like if you look at Daniel's life and it said by whoever, it would say by Jesus. Like God had to look into Daniel's heart and put in there the courage to do some of the stuff that we're studying in this book tonight. And we've already seen him, right, over the first couple chapters, do mind-blowing things. Like, how do you have the courage to stand up like that, bro? And as we go into further chapters, you guys are going to be even more amazed, hopefully, like I am, as you see some of the stuff God does through Daniel. And so let me give you a quick recap because we're there and you can open your Bibles. We're in Daniel 2, 24 to 30 tonight. So as you're opening there, we'll recap real quick. So we saw Daniel, him and his buddies, and their Nebuchadnezzar gave them names, right? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they're all these dudes who are really smart and really talented. And they're from this place called Israel. And all of a sudden, Babylon comes over and like, we're taking you down. And they take over Israel and kick the people out of their land. And they say, we're taking your smartest people, your most talented, your healthiest, your most athletic. And we're going to take you all back here and we're going to put you on the king's court. And you're going to make our empire awesome. We're going to use all your gifts to make us great. And so, yeah, we talked about how they might have been like, what? We're not going to you're taking us as slaves. Why would we ever contribute to make you awesome when you're making us your slaves? But that wasn't the attitude that Daniel and his friends had. They go and they serve with humble hearts, and they start to do some really cool things, and the king takes notice, right? Well, then all of a sudden this day comes, and they're supposed to eat this food, because like everybody else, the king puts out like all these meats and different things and alcohols and all this, like basically this big feast. But Daniel and his friends had taken a vow. They weren't going to eat that stuff. And so the king's like, no, no, you need to eat that stuff. And they're like, well, let me make a deal. If we don't and we eat just like soup and vegetables and things like that, and we're still healthier than all your other people that are eating your food, then we get to do this. And so they do it. And what happens? God comes through. Yet again, there's God going, nope. And so they were healthier than everybody else. All right, well, then we move on, and they're starting to, like, do their thing and get more attention, and the king's like, these guys are awesome. And then all of a sudden, the king starts having some crazy dreams, and it's keeping him up at night, and he can't sleep. So he's like, all right, call one of my wise men, a sorcerer, magician, whatever. Call somebody in here and tell him to tell me what my dream means, because it's driving me crazy. So he calls in these guys, kind of like the head dudes. He's like, here's what happened. I can't sleep. I need you to tell me what this means. But I'm not going to tell you what the dream is. And they're like, excuse me? Like, why don't you tell us the dream and then we'll interpret it for you? And he's like, no, 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 that's not how it's going to work. I think you guys might be full of it. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to let you talk. And they're like, you're not even going to tell us the dream? He's like, no. As a matter of fact, if you can't tell me the dream and interpret the dream, you're dead. So these guys are freaking out and they're like, King, look, nobody could do something like that. That's insane. How could you ask us to do that? Only a God could do something like that, right? And we were like, bing, bing, you finally got it. You're just worshiping the wrong God, dude. So the king's like, get out of my hair. Just get out of here. I don't want to see you. If you guys can't do it, I'm going to kill you. So Daniel hears, and what does he do? He goes back to his buddies. And he's like, listen, guys, we got to get on our knees, and we need to just pray to God because our God can tell us the dream. So what we're going to do is we're going to pray. We're going to do the one thing and ask the one person that can actually do this, and it's God. So they get down on their knees, and they start to pray together. And then Daniel gets a dream that night, and it's the dream that the king had. And that's where we're picking up tonight. Daniel's going to be able to walk in and tell the king that he knows what the dream was. So here we are, verse 24, chapter 2. It says, therefore Daniel went into Arioch. Remember, that's like the king's captain, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. Wait a minute, you get what happened right there? That dude was assigned to kill Daniel. Like his job at this point was to seek out all these dudes and just start slaughtering them. And what does Daniel do? He doesn't run like I probably would have. He doesn't go hide and find a really good spot where he's not going to be found. He goes in straight to this dude. He takes the risk that if he walks in that room, he could just be beheaded immediately. That's like, Daniel, are you just crazy or are you a really courageous guy? But he doesn't run and hide. And you know why he doesn't? Because Daniel was devoted to a God that he could trust. You see, we act differently when we know we can trust God. If we don't think God's going to come through for us, we don't act courageous. We don't take that risk. We don't say yes when we hear the call. We back up and go, I'm not sure about that. But we're only not sure about that because we don't know if God's really going to do what God's promising to do. We don't know if our God is really trustworthy. And so we step back and go, are you sure? And we don't see Daniel do that. You know why? Because Daniel had a devotion in his heart to a God he knew would come through. He knew it. As you're facing life today, do you know that your God's going to come through for you? Is that thing today is nagging on your heart right now tonight as you're sitting here in these seats and it's just gnawing away at you? And you're wondering what's going to happen with that situation or that person or that health thing. Are you going, my God's got this. My God knows what he's doing. My God is trustworthy. Or are you inching back? Daniel and his story and his life is here to tell us that your God is trustworthy. That you can trust him to come through for you. And that what he calls you to do, he's going to make happen. So Daniel goes in and he marches into this guy, Arioch, right? He's like, all right, I got to talk to you, man. Don't take my head off. I got something to say. And then it says, he went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king and I will show the king the interpretation. Okay, so did you hear the first part of that? He says something that's kind of strange to me. Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. These are the dudes who are out like cutthroat, doing whatever they can to get ahead, throw the rest of them under the bus. They don't care what happens to Daniel and his friends. They want to get the king's favor. They want to be wealthy. They just want the spotlight. These dudes are out worshiping other gods, sacrificing, doing all sorts of nastiness that are totally against what honors God. And here's Daniel walking in going, hey, listen, don't kill these guys. It's almost like they're kind of his enemies in a way. And he's loving his enemies. He's standing up for people that would throw him under the bus immediately. This is probably one of the coolest parts of this entire story, that little phrase that most of us probably read right over, because this is what it does. That's what Jesus did. They were asked to do something impossible that they could not do. And they would lose their life. And then Daniel steps up and goes, you're my enemies. I have no reason to have to stand up for you. But I know the God who can save you. And he steps in on their behalf. Isn't that what Jesus does for you and me? When he looks at us and he's like, you guys are the enemies of God. You guys aren't capable of making yourselves good and pleasing God and getting his favor. You guys can't. It's impossible, the task that God's given you, because you can't be perfect. And that's what he wants. He wants you to be perfect. You're like, I can't, God. Jesus goes, but I can. But I'm your enemy, Jesus. And instead, he steps in and he does what we couldn't do. He does the impossible for us, just like Daniel's doing. And he says, don't take their lives. Don't take Rob Jones's life. I step in for him. I'm going to do what he can't do. You know what that's called? It's called mercy. Man, it's just a bunch of mercy getting poured out over these people, just like Jesus did for me and you. You know what it makes me want to do? It makes me want to show more mercy to the people around me, the people in my life. It makes me want to show more grace to people who seem like my enemies. I hear the words of Jesus telling me to love my enemies. It makes me want to go to people who can't do for themselves and try to help them, show them the love of Jesus. I love the book of Daniel. I love the example that he gives us. So he walks in, he's like, King, don't kill these people. And then, or to Arioch, right? And then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king. He sets up this appointment in haste, like real quick. And he said thus to him, I found among the exiles from Judah a man who will make known to the king the interpretation. He busts in the king's door and he's like, listen, stop, don't, we're not going to kill people. I found someone who can do this, king. Hold on a second. His name's Daniel. I'm going to bring him in. And look what happens. The king declared to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, okay? That's his like Babylonian name. Are you able to make known to me the dream that I've seen and its interpretation? He's like, let's just get down to business. If you can't tell me the dream and the interpretation, Daniel, you're just like the rest of them. Get out of here. I don't want to hear it. So he asks him straight up. He's like, don't even waste my time. Can you do both? What a question. What a question. Was he able? Daniel, do you have the power to do this? If we were really to stop and ask ourselves a similar question, just kind of fill in the blank. Am I able? Blank. Put whatever you want in that blank. What are the things you feel comfortable that you could say, yeah, I could do that? What are the things in your life where you feel like, yeah, I got some good control over that. Yeah, I wouldn't have a problem with that. I'm able to do that. I would rock that out. And just start filling the blank up with all the things that you feel capable of and you feel able to do and you feel like you have control over in your life. Start filling those blanks up. And then Daniel comes along and he shatters our dreams and says, all those blanks, they're lies. You're not really able to do anything. As much control as you feel in your life, as much as you feel good at something that you're able to just rock that thing out, you know that you really don't control it. It's an illusion. And we're all grabbing for this like sense of control in our life to feel like, okay, phew, now I can breathe. I'm okay. Everything's fine. Like I control this aspect of my life. I'm okay. And God's like, no, you don't. Even that's not under your control. I know I knit you together and I gave you some really cool gifts and talents and I made you awesome at that, but you don't control it. And God's like, I'm in control of all of it. All of it. And we start to lie to ourselves and to listen to Satan when he tells us that there are areas of our life that we control instead of God. But God's like, the whole thing's under my control. And so when the king asks this question, it's a great question for you to ask yourself. What are you so confident in that you need to just give up to Jesus and say, look, God, break this stronghold. Break the pride in my heart that makes me feel like I control this thing. That makes me want to hold it for me and say, this is mine. Instead of offering it up to you and saying, God, without you, I can't even do this. Because the truth is, you couldn't breathe tonight if God wasn't making it happen. Your little heart wouldn't be beating tonight if God wasn't energizing it. All the control belongs to Jesus. And so Daniel gets this. It's at the heart of his belief because we see that in his answer. Daniel answered the king and said, no wise men, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. Like, there's nobody. This is an impossible task. This is something not one human being could possibly do. Look what he says next. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. This was Daniel's chance. He could have been the hero. Like, this was his chance to be in the spotlight and be the star of the show. Like, yeah, I got the dream, man. I got the dream and the interpretation. Make me your head dude over here and pay me a lot of money and I want that palace. Could have done that. The king offered it. Remember the last passage? He's like, I'm going to just load up wealth on whoever can do this. But Daniel doesn't. He deflects it immediately. He's like, don't think a lot about me. I can't do this. I'm not in control of this. Yeah, I have the answer for you, but I didn't do it on my own. So you're asking me if I'm able, if it's me that's doing it. And in humility, Daniel goes, no, but there's a God in heaven who can do it. He points it straight up to Jesus. He's like, don't give me glory for this. Don't give me praise for this. Don't you dare. I don't deserve it, but God does, and God can do it. He says, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the later days. Your dream and the visions of your head as you lie in bed are these. To you, O king, as you lay in bed, came thoughts of what would be after this. And he who reveals mysteries made known to you what is to be. So basically what he's telling the king is, and we're going to look at this dream and this prophecy the next time. We're not going to look at it today, but he's saying the dream you had is God telling you what's about to happen. It's a prophecy, king. And it's legit. It's going to happen. So you need to get ready. And he's like, and I'm going to tell you all about it. But here's the cool part of that. This is what we need to take away from this. God did it all. God did the whole thing. He put the dream in the king's head. He put the dream in Daniel's head. He interpreted the dream. God did all of it because God controls past, present, and future. He controls everything. The story is about God. Your life is about God, even if you're not living it for him. Even if you're not trying to make your life about him, it's still about him. Because our God controls everything. And he's working the strings of your life, and he's painting a beautiful picture out of who you are. And how awesome when you turn your heart to him and go, God, you deserve the glory for this, just like Daniel does here. So he tells the king, hey, listen, this is what's, God's telling you what's about to happen. But he's got something important to tell him before he actually gives the prophecy and the meaning, right? This is what he wants to say. Listen, this is important. He says, but as for me, hold on a second before we get to that, king. But as for me, this mystery has been revealed to me. Not because of any wisdom that I have more than all the living. It's like, I want you to know something before I tell you what this thing means. I want you to know for sure this has nothing to do with me. Yeah, I'm doing what none of your smart men and your sorcerers and your magicians and your prophets could do. I'm doing it, but it's not me. So I don't want you giving me the glory for it, he says. It's not like I have some wisdom that nobody else around can have. He's like, don't you dare glorify me for this because I don't want that. Daniel just didn't want to be in that spot where he would stand in the way of God receiving glory. Man, that's hard to find today. We live in a culture of people that all we do is scream out, look at me. Look at me. Look what I can do. Like my post or comment and tell me how good looking I am and tell me this and tell me that and glorify me. And we're willing to throw each other under the bus to get ahead of each other. We're willing to do whatever it takes. And it's funny because our culture just doesn't seem that different from the Babylonian culture and what they were doing. Because they're doing the same stuff we're doing today. It's all about pride. And it's all about making ourselves look great. When Daniel was the only dude who could do it, and you know what he did? He's like, don't worship me. Don't give me credit. Here's what devotion does, because we've been talking about how Daniel teaches us about devotion. And as we're building you up to go break walls down in your schools, here's what something we need to know about devotion. If you're really, is that it gives credit where the credit belongs. If you're really devoted, you're devoted to someone or something. If you're devoted to yourself, it's just pride. It's not devotion. But when you're devoted to Jesus, that means you make it all about Jesus. You don't go like feed homeless people and then go like post it so everybody pats you on the back and tells you how spiritual you are. You don't walk into your school and start a Bible study and then brag about how big you made it. You don't stand up and on a stage and lead worship and boast about how great you can sing. You give credit where it's due. You say, this isn't about me. This whole thing's about Jesus, and he gave me the gifts to do this. And so don't you dare for one second glorify me. I want you to glorify Jesus because my devotion lies with Jesus. Man, it's so impressive that Daniel was able to do this in the middle of his culture. In the middle of all those dudes doing that, he saves their lives. And then he says, I'm not even going to try to take the credit for it over them. I don't want to be praised for this. And he remains humble. And then it says this. It tells the king, but in order that the interpretation may be made known to the king, and that you may be made may know the thoughts of your mind. He tells him the reason for why he was given the dream. It was for you. It was so God could speak to you. This whole thing wasn't about me having some great gift and getting high on your court and being like one of the top dudes. This whole thing was so God's voice could whisper in your ear and your heart could hear God speak to you. God wants you to open your ears and hear him. And Daniel could have got real confused. He could have messed this thing up bad, right? See, God-given dreams can only be filled by God himself. If God gives you a dream, you can't fulfill it. Only he can. So don't try to go out and do it and be like, oh God, I heard that. Yes, I'm saying yes. And then I'm going to try to go do it on my own in my flesh and try to make it happen. Because God, you made me so gifted and talented, I can do it. Because you'll fall flat on your face. See, if God gives you a call, it's a God-sized call. And only God can accomplish it in you and through you. And so you need to depend on God. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Seek God above the dream. If God's been putting some stuff in some of your hearts, and I know he has because you've been coming and telling me all the awesome things he's doing on your campuses and in your families and all over the place, God's doing cool stuff through you guys. And I'm so proud of you. But here's what I want to encourage you. As you're in that and as you're working for Jesus, don't ever worship that dream he gave you over him. Worship the dream giver. Worship Jesus who put that passion in your heart. And be just ecstatic and full of joy to serve him in that. But love him more than the dream. Chase after him more than the dream. And you're going to open your eyes up and be like, holy cow, God, how did you do this through somebody like me? That's the humility that we see in Daniel. I don't know if you guys know a guy named Bob Goff. If you don't know him, you need to read his books. He's hilarious. I've never heard Rachel laugh so loud in my life than when we went to hear this guy. He's awesome. But he's so funny and he writes some good books and he loves Jesus. You guys should read some of his books. But he says this is a quote from Bob Goff and he hits it right on the head. He says, everybody wants to make a difference in the world, but only a few people want to be different than the world. It's hard to make a difference in your school if you're just like everybody else. If you're in the rat race, if you're trying to one-up everybody else and get more popular and get the likes on your Instagram and all that deal, instead of just saying, like, I want to be different. I want to be humble like Daniel. I want to be devoted to Jesus. And I love Christ more than the dream, but Lord, give me the dream. God, make this happen so that you're glorified. And I pray that's the heart in you. Let me pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, God, thank you that we can look at a dude like Daniel and see him live a life that was touched and molded and empowered by you alone. God, you did things through Daniel he could never do so that we could look later and say, God, you are the one that deserves the praise for that. And Jesus, I just ask you that you would do the same in the lives of these students, these leaders, these adults, and me, Father. God, as we are living, trying to be built up so we can go into our schools and tear walls down for your gospel, Lord Jesus, that we would do it with humility, knowing that you deserve the credit. God, that you'd be the most exciting thing that we could talk about. Will you thrill our hearts, not in some cheap emotional way, but with deep joy that says, God, you matter more to me than anything. You're the most valuable thing in my life. Father, we ask you to give us your dreams, your calling, your goals, but cause us to love you more than anything else. Lord Jesus, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior, I pray, God, that they would come talk to a leader or to me before they leave, that they could meet you, that they could know how awesome you are and how you'll save them and forgive them of their sin. Don't let them leave here tonight without meeting you. So God, be glorified by our worship tonight. Will you take all of the other junk in our hearts and set it aside? Cause our hearts and our minds to focus on you as we sing this last song, Jesus, that our hearts would want to worship you and you alone above everything else. It's in Christ's name we pray.